Well, let's pray before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we are again thankful for life and the blessings that you bring to us, the opportunities to share you, your life, your blessings, your healing, your wholeness, your salvation. Just thankful, Father, that you continue to bring us together, continue to watch over us and keep us. And Lord, we never quite know what to expect when you're in our presence. But we know that we can expect unity and love and a blessing from you. Father, we give this night to you. Offer up our praise, sometimes our sacrifice of praise, to worship you in your name. Amen.
You alone are worthy of my life. She creates the Emily creates the Sunday PowerPoint. Then I just cut and paste and modify what I need to. You notice how on Sundays, after we finish our music, the next slide you see is the worship leader while you're up here talking. I already took care of it. That's what that was.
Take it, baby.
Don't die.
Somebody pray for me.
Yonder on Calvary's mount of glory.
I have been working on the next message series, and it's going to be about attitudes. And one of the things that, and as I was looking at some of the things today, it's how to turn doubt into contentment, and how to take one feeling or one attitude that's bad and make it good. And the premise of that is that we as Christians, it may apply to us, but it also may help us with someone else's life. Because the whole idea of worship is for edification, it's for praise, but it's also for education. Oh, there I go. But it's also for education. And so what the plan there is that it, I feel like I'm in a barrel. Maybe I am. What it will do, I think, is help us all when we run into those people that we think may have a bad attitude, but we're not sure. But we have a really good idea that it will help us see that. And then maybe help us find words of encouragement to get them over that bridge. And so the same thing is really true tonight. I was reading today and looking at some different things, and I've been reading this book, and I don't know if you ever heard of this guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Phenomenal guy, and some of the miracles that took place during his ministry are just phenomenal. But I've got this book that's, and he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And so the references here that are here are from that book, the scripture references, and I gave those to you. And so what it will almost become tonight maybe is, and I don't want to say a training session, but that's kind of what it is, that we take a look at that and that we are equipped to help other people. And then at the end of the service, we're going to pray, and we're also going to have communion. But the first verse, there's 1 Corinthians 12:9-10. Faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. And what that reference has to do with is the gifts of the Spirit that God gives to us. And they are manifested through us from God. And one of the things that I ran into was the different kinds of tongues when I was in another church. I had gotten involved with a group of crazy charismatics that taught me a lot, but I got involved in, and not involved, but I mean, it was by choice. And so that particular denomination would not ordain me because they were so totally opposed to it. And their position is that we need to seek the best gifts. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. I don't have a problem with that, but there's nothing wrong with anything that's listed there. And so sometimes we get our theology ahead of common sense. And so the things there that that we look at, we find that these gifts are really nothing more than just extraordinary power that God has given to us. And they have been there since the very beginning of time. We look back and we talk of healing as an example. And I like what it says here, because it doesn't say gift of healing. And Wigglesworth goes on and talks about not being a gift of healing, but it's the gifts of healing. And it's not limited to just a particular issue or a particular thing, but it has to do with many different issues and many different types of healings. And he said, and he didn't say this, somebody else said this, but it is to convince unbelievers and to spread the gospel. And it does help unbelievers, but people need, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm not going to saw it off behind myself, but in a lot of cases, God touches, and in not all cases, believers. And I'm not going to say he doesn't touch an unbeliever, but I will tell you that in the majority of cases that he touches believers, because when he said so many times, go and sin no more. And to some people, he said, your sins are forgiven. And as a result of their sins being forgiven, they were healed. So when we look at that, it almost leads us to believe, or leads me to believe at least, that those people that come to him with an element or a degree of faith. And I love what he said to the one, I think it was the leper, or the man with the withered hand, or so, I can't remember which one he said. He says, but do you want to be healed? And part of that wanting is coming. And so it is to convince unbelievers, it is to spread the gospel. And they differ greatly, but they are given to us by God. And where grace is given, I love that song, God's Grace, because it's all about grace. And the fact that he has bestowed that particular grace on us, he's given us that grace that we can go out and make someone else whole. So gifts are the advantage, and maybe for the advantage and for the salvation of others. There may be some great gifts where there's no grace. There's some, maybe some people that look at the gift of winning the lottery, and I'm certainly sure there's no grace there. And I'm not speaking against the lottery, I'm just using that as an example. That these gifts of the Holy Spirit were normally exercised in public assemblies. And in a lot of cases, and one of the criticisms and example of the gift of tongues is that there is scriptural foundation for it, but there's also scripture on how it is to be used and how if it is to be interpreted. And when I lived in Nashville, I went to an Assembly of God church. And I went to a couple other churches too. I went to Christ Church down there, which is a huge church. Guys like Lee Greenwood went there, and there was a lot of the country stars went there. Pretty cool church. And if you've ever seen the any of the Gaither videos, Joy Gardner, that sings on there, her husband was the music director at the church. And I mean, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal church. And I didn't, it was a charismatic organized church, if that makes sense. The Assembly of God was a little bit, less free. No, more free. And there were a couple times there that people did speak in tongues. And the two or three times that they did, there was someone there to interpret. And I've been in these meetings before. And what it is, and when it happens, is that you better wake up, because God's saying something to the body. And it doesn't happen often. And we probably won't see it here. But it's not impossible. It's not an impossibility. And there is a gift not only of speaking, but there's a gift of interpretation. And God had given me that opportunity to use that gift on several occasions. So that's why I think and believe that it's okay. But it's not something that's going to happen every Sunday. People being healed is not going to happen every Sunday, because it takes the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to bring that about. And there's order in service, and there's order in the ways that he does things. So the gifts that mentioned here appear to mean exact understanding. It is a gift that's used for a purpose. It's a gift that's used to glorify God and not glorify man, and not allow man to let himself think that he's so much better. My mother and father-in-law, Matt's grandmother and grandfather, used to watch a lot of religious TV, and would see people come in there and lay hands on people, and would see them. Some people with the term slain in the spirit would fall back, and they were believers, big believers in that. And I just heard Tuesday. That Matt's grandfather had passed away. 96 years old. Amazing guy. Amazing guy. He liked me a lot better than his daughter. The greater the gift we see here, the more the person that possesses that gift is exposed to temptation. And we have to walk in caution, and we have to walk in grace, that we do not allow that gift or any particular gift to let us begin to pat ourselves on the back and to think that it came from me, or it came from any one of us, because it really doesn't. Because what we see here is that the larger the amount of grace that is needed occurs when miracles begin to happen. And people, we need to keep in mind that it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through God the Father that brings that about. So there are a lot of people that have met with some humbling experiences, have prayed for people. There are people, the ministers out here, that tell people no longer to use their medication. A lot of false teaching about the gift of healing. In Luke 12:48, God has also given us much, and from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. What I think Luke is telling us there, that if God has given us that gift, or any gift, that we should use it, because that is the expectation. It's like the old song goes, that you don't put, your light under a bushel, but that you share it. And that's one of the things that I try to communicate with people when I talk to them about coming to church, and those people that don't, is that you have a gift. Because the Bible says that we are all given gifts. You sitting there tonight have a gift. And so what that does is it brings those other people in to share their gifts, but to receive the gifts that are here. It's not about building up a big number of people to turn into the district on Monday and say, hey, look what we have done. But it's all about worship. And it's all about bringing people together to minister to one another. It's not just about coming and hearing a message or hearing music or a joke, different things. Several people have asked me, what happened to the joke? Well, the joke will be back. I just looked at this series from the cross to the Pentecost and thought, this is a serious subject. when we talk about Jesus' death. And so I'm trying to bring a little, you know, and not there's anything irreverent about a joke, don't get me wrong, but it was my decision, and you know, and no one else's, but I will tell you, several people have asked. And then someone said the other night that in the Ad Council meeting that some of them weren't very funny, and I thought it was pretty good. But you know, anyway. So what he's saying here is if we've been entrusted to do something, we need to do it. And so probably next time that we meet for a healing service, we're gonna talk about how to find our gift. And there's gift assessments out there and a lot of different things, and I may give you one of those and you know and say, hey, take this and fill it out, and then when you do, let's sit down and talk, because how can you be used to build up and edify other people? Because we all have them. But a lot of us aren't sure what they are. Matthew 5:13, the Lord said to us, you are, and this is from the Amplified Bible, says, you are the salt of the earth. But the salt has lost its taste or its purpose. How can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. If you're not familiar with the Amplified Bible, it's a great version or translation, because it will take and explain certain things. And if you've ever had an opportunity to listen to Joyce Meyer, Joyce Meyer uses the Amplified Bible, and a phenomenal, in my opinion, excuse me, Bible teacher. She will pull no punches on what she says. But what he's saying here is that if we as a church aren't utilizing our gifts, then we've kind of lost our saltiness. Or, you know, and I don't mean that salty like a sailor, but we have lost that seasoning that brings us together. And I talk to people that come in here, and even people that come in at the Operation Magi to pick up their gifts, and they would talk about, man, it just feels different in here. I said, well, it's supposed to. This is God's house. There should be that awareness or that sense that when you walk in here, it's different. And so the thing that we want to be certain about and be aware of is, am I prepared for worship? Am I prepared to utilize what God has given me? He also said in John 15:6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If we don't move with the Lord in these last days, we're going to be left behind. And I don't mean we're going to be left behind in the rapture, but we're going to be left behind as far as an opportunity to worship and to minister and to fulfill what God's will is. We'll miss out on the good things of God, the things that He has in store for us, the blessings, the opportunities, the acquaintances, the new people we'll meet. It may be in a grocery store. I may have told you before, but I ran into, I was down at the IGA one day, and some lady come up and she said, I know you. So I'm innocent. That's what I did. She smiled and she said, I know you from somewhere. And I told her who I was, and then I looked at her and I said, it wasn't in the back of a police car, was it? Oh, no. I happened to speak at the cemetery up here for Veterans Day. And that's when it was. And she said, oh, I remember that. But it was an opportunity to talk with her. And I look for those opportunities everywhere I can find them. People who have the Holy Spirit, and the phrase, the people of the Holy Spirit, have a ministry. Everyone that's born again, as I said, has received the Spirit of God. There's no denying it. because that's what he does. He comes in and fills us. He comes in and replaces us with what was there. The garbage is gone because the Bible says that he does not dwell in sin. In fact, the Bible says he didn't know sin. And as I said a couple weeks ago, he had to have some recognition of what it was when he couldn't find Adam and Eve, even though he knew where they were. I love that, you know. Yeah. And I also have been captivated by the thought over the last couple weeks is the leaves that they were weaving together were dead, were dying. They'd been taken off the vine, off the plant, out of its life source. And so you carry that out to the shed blood of a lamb in the Old Testament for the redemption of sin, and then you look at the shed blood of Jesus. It brings on a total different understanding of what happened. I had to meet yesterday with the board, with the district committee on license, on ministry. Every year I have to meet with them. And they sat down and asked you these questions, and they were talking about, and they give you prepared things to be prepared for. And one of the questions, one of the things on there was to go into the Book of Discipline and find this paragraph and find this issue and discuss what it was. And I thought, I'm going to use, what's the source of evil in the world today? Because I just talked about it Sunday, so, you know, I was already prepared. And so we're talking about that, and I'm sitting here with, you know, four other esteemed individuals, and they're talking about, and I, you know, and they brought up the subject of that, and I said, well, you know, the thing that I've looked at was the issue of evil, and it was as a result of a question that they talked, because I taught, we were talking about, actually talking about healing. And I was telling them about the service that we had for Jake and the kids that were here. And we anointed them and prayed for them and prayed with them. And so they said, well, if someone lost, and they didn't realize the question they were asking, or they didn't realize who they were asking the question of. But they said, if someone loses a friend like that, at a young age, how do you deal with that? Let me tell you how you deal with that. I said, you tell them that it's not God that took that life. Well, why do you say that? I said, I say that because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And I looked at one of them in the eye and I said, I will tell you, death is not good. And I will tell you, cancer is not good. And she kind of backed up, you know, and I said, but that's what it is. I said, Satan is what does that. And I tried to explain that what we talked about Sunday, that when God said he was going to put enmity between the serpent, and the serpent being the symbol of Satan, and the seed of woman, which was Jesus, if you carry that, you know, that line out, and it's like, huh? Well, we think it's sin. I said, well, I don't disagree with you, but where'd sin come from? Oh, I see what you're talking about. And it's amazing. I'm still here. The misunderstanding that I think people have in really what's the source and where'd it come from. Sin's a result of Satan. Satan's not a result of sin. The serpent came before the sin. And I don't know if we don't want to use that term, we're afraid to use that term, or what. Back to the tubby matter. I was mentioning Smith Wigglesworth, and he said, you will notice that after I have ministered, many things are manifested, but they don't move me. Said, I'm not moved by anything I see. And we are so used to seeing and believing. And what he's saying is that I believe, then I see. And I read a story he was talking about in his book today about a girl, that young lady that had died, that was, he was praying for, and she died. And he actually sent her mother and her brother and her sister off the bed, and they wouldn't go. And he said, he got up and put his coat on. He said, I'm leaving. And he said, where are you going? He said, I can't do any work here. He said, God had told him to send them to bed. And he said, during that night when he was praying from 11 to 3:30 in the morning, the girl died. And he said, she ultimately woke up, rolled over on her side, and fell asleep. But he said, that doesn't come if you're moved by what you see. But we're moved by what we believe, and we see what we believe. It's kind of a different thought for a lot of people, I think. Two things to know. Divine healing is a solid fact of the divine nature, and it is an act of God. And the gift of healing is a fact. It is faith that brings it about. When people come for healing, they come because they believe God's gonna touch them. And when they come for healing, and I believe that there's people that we have prayed for in this church that will see a doctor, and he can't find anything wrong. I believe that. But he says it is an unwavering trust. It is confidence. And I like this. It is reliability. We can rely on what God said he would do. So he says the first thing to find out, if a person's sick, what's wrong with them? He says, you know what to pray for. Makes sense. God has called us into a relationship with him, into a union, into a oneness, into a fullness with him. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. It's not us dealing with the sickness. We're only dealing with what God told us to do, and God told us to pray for the sick. It makes it so much easier. And somebody, and I was kidding Tom, I was serious in a way when we were standing back there. And Wigglesworth will say the same thing, and other people will too, is you can pray for people and not be healed. I don't know why. I have no idea. Certainly not faith, because if I pray for someone, I believe they're going to be healed. And I believe that I'm going to be healed. So what he's saying here is, he that's in the world, he said, it's not your battle. He said, it's my battle. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind is the fact that our commission, our calling, our responsibility, our bit of obedience in this is to pray. And it may seem like an odd place in the middle of a grocery store to pray for someone, or in a restaurant to go pray for a policeman. But they need our prayers. And they need it probably now more than ever. We're seeing way too many of them, that are being killed. And I thought today, and I read this, Psalm 124, 1 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been for the Lord in us, we would not be doing anything. And just to kind of wrap this up, I heard today that, and I was listening to Bill Cunningham, and I listen to him every once in a while because sometimes I like controversy, and sometimes I just like to listen to him. But he's talking about CNN, and you may have heard this, had said that if there would be an assassination of Trump and Pence and something would blow up and kill all of them, that a Democratic undersecretary would become president. He was talking about, it almost sounds like commission to kill someone. And I'm thinking, and I was thinking about that, and the thought that ran through my mind, and I've got a friend that I went to high school with on Facebook, the name of Gary Williams, and Gary is an intellect. He really is a lot smarter than I'll ever be. But he put something on there today that said that He thought Trump was a bad guy. And I wrote back and I said, who are we to judge? And he wrote back and he said, I agree. He said, I'm far probably worse than many other people in the world. And I wrote back and I said, I'm in the same boat with you. And so, but it brought to my mind that what a crazy world we live in with a bunch of radical idiots that believe that, you know, it's okay to kill people in the name of their God. And I understand them wanting to evangelize because we do the same thing. I mean, I understand that aspect of it, but I don't accept the means that they go about doing it and the way they go about doing it. So as we pray tonight, we do have the inauguration tomorrow, and I think we should pray for that. I mean, and I think, you know, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, pro-Republican, anti-Republican, pro-conservative, anti-conservative, or whatever, he's the guy, you know? Those that were anti-Obama supporters, I'm sure, prayed for him. And let's not change that. Let's continue to pray for our leaders. Pray for those that are in authority over us. It's really what our mission is. Any other prayer requests? I'm sorry? Smith. I'm sorry? Before we do that, let's just invite anyone up that needs prayer for anything. Personally, then we'll do the corporate prayer. But I feel like we ought to do that, and then we're gonna share communion. But as you feel led, just come up and partake of communion. At your comfort level. I keep making a lot of bread, anticipating a lot of people were going to be here. And it's going to happen one of these days. if you don't have a particular issue you want to be prayed for and you just want to go participate in communion, feel free to do it. No, I mean, I believe if someone wants prayer, you come up. But I'll also ask you if you want to be anointed with oil. And I will also ask you if it's okay if I put my hand on you. I That's just Larry. So. I know you're good with it.
I'll take whatever you're giving. Anybody else who wants to pray for me, come up and put hands on my shoulders. Thank you, Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful and blessed, nourished, fed, led by Greg's ministry here and what he means to us and what his leadership means, what his involvement means, what his dedication. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against whatever it is that is troubling and whatever issue it is right now in the name of Jesus, and we take authority over it and we bind it, because you said that whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Father, we bind this issue that is troubling Greg, and we loose your Holy Spirit to just flow through him and to cast out and to bring wholeness and bring freedom and again bring peace, bring assurance that you have set him free. And so Father, we're not walking away from here not believing, but we're walking away from here believing that the prayer of belief has touched Greg because of the death and the abuse that your son took on the cross. So Father, right now we claim healing and wholeness because of the stripes of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You guys all got to stay up here. We need to pray for everybody else, too. That's awesome. That's awesome. Who's next? You got it.
Hop in here. Let's put you on the spot.
Melody does, too.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, how blessed we are that you have blessed us with this lady. And how thankful we are, Father, that you have gifted her with the means of grace that you have. So, Father, just now, in the name of Jesus, touch Melody. Release her, relieve her. Give peace, give comfort, give assurance. And Father, it's in the name of your Son who gave himself for us that we take authority over the things that trouble Melody. And Lord, as we take authority over them, we bind them in your name. And we say in the name of Jesus that peace and freedom and comfort and assurance come just now. Right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you, Father, that you have brought peace and assurance. That, Father, you are walking with her every step of the way. And watching over her. And Lord, as she prepares for the next step in her life, we pray, Father, that you will continue to lead her as you have and protect her and be with Mom and Dad as she steps out to a new level. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
next.
Wow.
Come on, keep it going, guys.
Nerve pain. I'm going down the leg.
Let's take care of that. Our Holy Father, you have blessed us with an amazing woman here. And Father, you have gifted her with talent I wish I had. But you know best, and you are doing amazing things through Karen. And her desire to love you and to grow and to be led by you is special. And so, Father, just now in the name of Jesus, we pray for this sciatic nerve and this issue that is troubling Karen to be healed in the name of Jesus. That it be cast out, that she feel no more pain, she feel no more hurt, no more discomfort. But she can walk out of here saying, by the grace of God, I've been healed. And he's touched me and has taken away the pain, taken away the discomfort, and brought about healing and health and wholeness and fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. And so now, Karen, you're healed. I believe that Jesus has touched you. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has some fantastic things in store. Not only for you, but for us through you. In fact, I think God's telling me that you've not nearly reached your potential. That he has things in store for you that you can't imagine. Blessings that are going to come your way. Lives are going to be changed and lives are going to be made different because of what you do and what you say at work. That God has things of and areas of ministry at work that are going to totally and in a radical way not only change you, but change people that you come in contact with. Father, I thank you for that word. Thank you, Father, for Karen, for her family. Just ask, Father, you continue to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nicole's back. That's a praise.
Well, I know, but there's more to it than that. I just really sense that.
Come on, guys. Slowing. Come on.
Don't you have surgery on?
I'm supposed to. Right now it's scheduled. I will accept any prayer.
You can pray for you last.
That's fine.
Dealing with this young man up here, which I know is still dealing with some pains from his fall. Get it. Okay, good. You don't need to suffer from that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I say to Todd, through you and through your power, to be healed right now in the name of Jesus, that we accept your healing and that we take your healing and we use it as a gift that you have given to us, and that people are touched and people are moved by what Todd says and the example that Todd gives. Father, we pray for Megan. And as she travels, we pray, Father, that you will give her safety, watch over her and keep her safe as she travels and while she's there and as she travels back. In the name of Jesus, we ask that. But Father, you're not finished with Todd and what his ministry is. And how I believe that you, you're placing a special call on Todd. Special call on Tiffany. And so, Father, we just pray that we are open and we are led. And that we are willing to say yes. We're willing to reach out and accept everything that you have for us. The blessings, the times of growing, sometimes the trials, that you make us stronger because what you're going to do is that you're going to help Todd and Tiffany minister to people that have trouble and have times of problems in a blended family. Father, I just thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that you lead us and you guide us. And thank you, Father, for Todd and for his ministry. Thank you, Father, for his healing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Pray for that hand. Oh, come here. We want to do it all, man. Come on. You'd be so kind, man.
Give up the
tap. Absolutely. Most of you probably don't know. He's got this. Do they have an official name for this feet thing?
Peripheral neuropathy.
Well, I'm sure you can't really feel the feet.
Diabetic nerve pain. I don't have diabetes.
Yeah.
Just all I ask is you don't mess my hair up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one?
Oh, God. Wow. I feel so inadequate standing here. And but thanks. Thanks for your presence. Father, thanks for the healing that's going through Scott right now. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that that neuropathy is healed and that it is gone, and it is gone through what Jesus did. Isaiah said it before it ever happened. He prophesied that by his stripes, you, Scott, are healed in the name of Jesus. And so I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for Brandon and for Olivia and for Helen. And Lord, what great relationship we have developed. How you know who to bring and when to bring them. And the talent and the gifts, Lord, that you have blessed us with. Father, this wrist, we take authority over that. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we cast out the pain and we loose healing, freedom, and movement in that wrist in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just are so blessed, so touched by the opportunity to come to you tonight. Father, just so thankful that you have allowed us to be part of this special time. And it's special, Father, for Scott right now. And Lord, we thank you for him. Thank you, Father, for his healing, for his his ministry and the blessings, Lord, that you have given to him and you've given to us through him. We thank you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Nothing physical, but a little something, just.
Oh yeah, you can lift up that a little bit. That's right.
Yeah. I feel warm. Are you hot or just?
What? Oh, it's just the room.
Just you? Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. Lord, we thank you for Brandon. Thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've bestowed upon him and how he's using that for the kingdom. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for the issue right now that is concerning Brandon, that he be freed from it, he be loosed from it in Jesus' name. And that a result of that loosing, that there will be a newfound freedom and joy come that he's never experienced before. We pray, Father, for confidence in what he does. But Father, we pray for humility. Because sometimes we let it get to us. And I know that you have humbled me on many occasions. And it's a gift that you give us. And so, Father, I just I pray that gift right now on Brandon. And thank you, Father, for bringing about freedom, bringing about peace, bringing about assurance and guidance. Father, you have a tremendous witness here, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for the touch in Brandon's life tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Welcome back, Nicole.
I raised your hand a little bit.
Thank you.
She just reached out and just.
You're somebody you want to lift up in prayer, right? You can stand in for me. If you want it for yourself, we'll do it. You can do it.
All right. Father, I thank you for my brother. You have blessed us with Tom and with Wanda and with Joyce as special people, as a special friend. And so, first, we come to you in Jesus' name for the person he's standing in for. And thank you, Father, for Tom's faith. To reach out and do this, because we believe that you heal as a result of faith, but we also believe that you heal others through our faith, that we take the word that you have given to us and we share it and we pray for them. And so, Father, it's in your name that we lift up to you this unspoken request on behalf of Tom. We thank you, Father, for his faithfulness and for his desire to come on behalf of someone. And then, Lord, thank you for touching Tom. Thank you, Father, for being in his heart being in his life. Father, thank you that the work that he does is a ministry to needy and to those in need, Father. And so we pray, Father, that you give Tom the strength, the health to do what you have called him to do. And Father, we pray for any sickness, any illness, anything right now that is bothering Tom. We pray for it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that touch. And we thank you, Father, for healing. And Satan, take your hands off of Tom's health. And take your hands off of the request that he's made. You can no longer have issue or authority because Jesus dwells there. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You messed my hair up, Larry.
You didn't tell me I couldn't. Tom, love you, man. Man, this is a powerful night. A good night to be here. Works for me. I know I said this in January, but the Greek word for shedding his blood is an active word. It's not a past. Isaiah said, by his stripes we were healed. So we've already got that. But it's because we shed blood that we are saved, and we are saved continually. It's not something that just happens once, but it's a continual thing. I'm thankful for that.
We're
healed. Father, we have the elements of your body and your blood. And we thank you for them. We bless them in your name. That as you did at the Last Supper, that we want to do tonight is to break the bread and realize that that's because of your body that was broken. But we take the cup, and that's because of the blood that you shed for us. And so we want to do both of these as we remember you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Pray for that knee. And as you take this right now, you know that this body was broken for your
physical healing. You're going to get a brand new knee here.
Man. I have more.
Smear it on.
Boy, when they anointed David as king, they poured the oil on him. Didn't come out for the other brothers. The right one.
The right knee. All right, folks. Get down here.
Pull your pant leg up, Pastor. I got a bunch of oil.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to come up that far.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question. And I guess this is the gauge, okay? So just sitting here, do you have any kind of pain in the knee, or is it just when you're walking or not?
Just usually when I'm walking.
And that's because the plane has been cartridge cartilage in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. The Lord, we're going to be claiming new cartilage right now. It's going to be really cool. You guys are going to like it. All right. I want everybody to repeat this after me. This healing belongs to Larry.
This healing belongs to Larry.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
Larry is a child of God.
Larry is a child of God.
Larry is royalty because of Jesus.
Larry is royalty because of Jesus.
Jesus declared on earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus declared on earth as it is in heaven.
There is no sickness or pain in heaven.
There is no sickness or pain in heaven. Sunday we did a corporate declaration, and a lot of you were here. And one of you prayed for Brandon. What was it, Brandon? 15 minutes later or so? 10 or 15 minutes later, boom. What do I want to call it? Shaking.
We call upon your power in the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. All right, brother, what I want you to do is stand up and walk.
Thank you.
Stand up and walk and tell me what's going on.
No pain.
Hey,
no pain.
Squat, anything that would aggravate
you. Who's going to help me get up? Actually, I tell you what hurt. What really hurt more was this.6 o'clock Monday morning.
6 o'clock Monday morning.
Cindy's favorite time to be in Dayton.
You're going to look at that, and the doctor's going to look at you and say, wait a second, why are you here?
Right? No, I'm going to ask him. Why am I here?
Perfect. Perfect. That's what God does. How awesome is that? That's awesome.
True.
Hallelujah. That's right.
What?
We'll give the podium here a new smell.
Soul needs all
here on this earth. Let it glorify all that you are. I am nothing. I am nothing without
you. That song works with everything, doesn't it? Who is the clicker? Click for where you see when peace like a river. It is well.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord alone. When darkness seems to hide His face, rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within His veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
That's it.